clearly someone decided that what I have to say is not worth hearing. So I don't know, maybe we should pull the plug on this. The Torah in Parshas Noach writes, Ki yetzer lev ha'odam ra min ha'urav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes that the yetzer of a person, the inclination of a person, is ra, literally translates obviously as evil. Min ha'urav, we on our own perhaps would have translated from his youth. Rashi quotes from Chazal on the Pasuk that min urav means mishosha nina lotzes mim e'imo. From the time the baby is born, that already then that the yitzro is ra. His inclination has potential for bad, for evil. Chazal comment on that Pasuk in the Gemara Kiddushin that kosha yitzahara. But the Yetzirah is a difficult, difficult force to contend with. Sha'afilu Yotzro Kra'ora, that even its creator, the creator of the Yetzir, the creator himself, capital H, describes, labels the Yetzir as Ra. The first and in some ways most important point to recognize in talking about tonight's topic is to be aware of the reality of the Yetzirah, of inclinations, urges, taivas that we experience, to be aware of that reality and to be aware of the strength of those inclinations, urges, instincts, etc. You know, in general, for whatever reason, however one accounts for it, self-understanding is crucial to one's health. In terms of physical health, if a person has a physical ailment, if his knee is hurting, I'd say the doctor can give him a painkiller, can do this, can do that, but to really adequately treat it, so the doctor has to have an accurate diagnosis, has to have an accurate understanding of what the problem is, what it is that he's contending with. In terms of emotional and mental health, the reason psychotherapy is part of treatment is that self-understanding is a significant part of the avoda. When a person understands why he feels as he feels, if a person is dealing with low self-esteem, a person understands where that comes from, maybe what experiences generated that, so that's already half the battle. The self-understanding is half the battle. And the same thing is true in terms of dealing with temptation and dealing with the Yetzirah. So the first thing is to accurately understand what it is we're contending with. And that's what Chazal say, based upon the Pasuk in Parshas Noach, that we have to recognize that it's a very strong and potent force. In general, one of the identifying qualities of Torah, of Halacha, is that Torah is very realistic. We don't conceive of or define Kedusha by imagining that we don't have very earthly, carnal inclinations and desires. That's not what our notion of Kedusha is. We don't pretend they don't exist. On the contrary, our notion of Kedusha is being very much aware that they do exist and addressing them and seeing to it that they're curbed as is appropriate, that they're channeled as is appropriate. That perhaps we'll try to touch upon taiva in three areas. Love Dafka, that is an exhaustive list, but in three areas: in the area of arayas, in the area of money, and in the area of kovod. In the area of arayas, The Rambam writes at the end of Hilchos Yisurei Biyah, Ein l'chadov v'b'chol ha-Torah kula shehu kasha. That same word that the Gemara in Kiddushin uses in describing, again, the force of the Yetzer Hara. Ein l'chadov v'b'chol ha-Torah kula shehu kasha l'rof ha'am, ela lifosh min ha-arayos v'abios ha-asuros. The most challenging area of halacha for most of us is arayos, is maintaining kedusha in the area of forbidden relationships. What are the strategies that Chazal devised, crafted for us, or maybe some of the strategies the Torah itself already provided? So the first one is, as you know, it's a machlokas, the Rambam and the Ramban, whether this is a din d'arayos or a din d'rabbanan, but for our purposes, that doesn't make a difference. The first is lo sekev v'legalos erva, that not only are the actual relations forbidden, but anything which can lead to that. So any kind of affectionate physical contact between a man and a woman who's not his wife, or a woman with whom the assumption is that you can't assume that the contact is purely platonic. There's no issa with a man and his mother. There's no issa with a man and his daughter. But other than basically that, so any kind of affectionate contact is asa. Similarly, when the Rambam also exhorts us to, again, be realistic in recognizing the Yetzer Hara, he says, "Lefichach roi lo la'odam lochlof yitzor b'davazah." It's appropriate that a person should be aware and mindful, should be realistic of the strength of the Yetzer Hara, and should be looking to counteract it. And then I'm skipping a few words. He says, and especially what the Rambam underscores is, "V'yizohem min hayichud shehu hagorim hagadol." Person has to be very, very makbid on issa yichud, on the issa of being alone, again, with a woman other than one's wife, other than one's mother, other than one's daughter, other than one's sister. In the latter case, it's only for certain periods of time. It's not for an indefinite amount of time, as is true with one's mother and one's daughter. What Chazal here are telling us, the Chochmah here should be appreciated. Relatively speaking, the easiest way to avoid Isurim is to not allow situations to arise which are ripe for Isurim to happen. And that's what the Rambam means, that Yizor min ha-yichad shehu ha-gorim ha-godol. Shehu ha-gorim ha-godol. It's something that our society doesn't begin to understand, presumably because our society doesn't really want to understand it. We'd probably all be better off not being so aware of it and not aware of all the accounts, but I assume that we all are to varying degrees about the Me Too movement that's been going on for the past, I don't know, I'm not sure how many months it's been already. And nothing excuses, nothing diminishes the culpability of what a man does if he violates a woman. Nothing diminishes his culpability. Nothing downgrades it in the least. But why doesn't it occur to society that the lemaisa there are people who do behave that way? And the only way to successfully prevent that is not to allow the situation, not to allow the circumstances to be such that allow for those things to happen. And that's what the chokhmah of Issa Yichud is. If a person isn't misyached, if a man isn't misyached with a woman, nothing can happen. Nothing will ever happen. That's what the Rambam says. A person will never, ever be nechshal. And here's point number two of the chokhmah, which is also present and inherent in the Lo Sikri V'Lo Galus Erva, that it's also even to hold hands. It's also to have the slightest affectionate physical contact. The Yetzer Hara is strong, but the relatively speaking, the easiest way to combat the Yetzer Hara is through complete abstinence rather than partial abstinence. Partial abstinence is much, much more difficult, many times more difficult than partial abstinence. Partial abstinence is many times more difficult than complete abstinence. If realistically, again, and excuse the bluntness and the directness, but just to make sure that we understand each other, if a man and a woman hold hands, so as strong as the Yetzer Hara was before, so that inflames the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara gets stronger. The Yetzer Hara gets stronger. And it's more difficult now to prevent things from escalating than it is if there's never any physical contact in the first place. So the way Chazal, the Torah, guide us in trying to realistically deal with the Yetzer Hara is, A, don't let the situation of... If the situation of chet doesn't arise, chet doesn't happen. Chet only happens in certain circumstances. It needs it in this context. If the situation isn't there, the chet will not happen. That's a guarantee. If a person doesn't cut corners on Issa Yichud, it will not happen. He will not be nechshal. In terms of the dealing with the Yetzer Hara, so the complete abstinence is again, relatively speaking, is the easier and therefore more effective approach than just the partial abstinence where a person doesn't comply with the restrictions of Lo Sikri V'Lo Galus Erva. Another very important and effective safeguard in this area is Shmiras Einayim. Also, very, very difficult to achieve in today's world. Rashi in Parsha Shlach, in the last Parsha of Kriyashma, so Rashi says, again, he gives us a depiction of how chet unfolds. And he says it begins with the eye sees. And what the eye sees, the lev, the ayin is roa. And then what the eye sees, so it feeds that. And then the lev is chomed. And then what a person sees, a person is chomed. That arouses desire. That elicits the temptation. And then, after the ayin roa and the lev chomed, so then, Rachman Litzlan, the stage is set for a person to... For a person to be nechshal. Again, the way to try to, the most effective way to try to counteract this is not to let that process begin, is not to have the ayin roa. What does it mean practically? It means that a person shouldn't ever gratuitously expose himself to seeing what incites the Yetzer Hara. B'chlal, the person, it's also, I think Moshe Feinstein writes in a tshuva, he explains that there are two components to the Issa Hastaklus V'Noshen. Again, not talking about a man looking at his wife when she's tahora. That there are two aspects to the Issa Histaklis. One is that a man is not supposed to look at any part of a woman, even her finger, with the intention of deriving enjoyment from looking at her. And second of all, those parts of a woman's body which are supposed to be covered, so then a person should not really see that at all. A person shouldn't see those parts of a woman's body that are supposed to be covered, even if he's not looking at almanas lehanos. He shouldn't see it at all, because again, those parts of the body, the natural masculine reaction to that is that it is ma'orat taiva. It does arouse desire in a man. So a person shouldn't gratuitously go where women are not dressed properly. Shouldn't gratuitously go. Obviously, some places we have to go, and that's what the Gemara calls les le'daka achrina. A person can't always avoid going places where women are not dressed modestly, where they're not dressed properly. And the Gemara calls that les le'daka achrina. If I have to get from point A to point B for some legitimate purpose, and the only routes available do, again, traverse an area where women are dressed immodestly, it is mutter to go. But then a person is supposed to do his best. When he can, he should look down, he should look away, he should do his best to avoid as much as possible seeing what we're not supposed to see. That's a major catalyst of chait. The more we avoid that catalyst, the better positioned we are to avoid chait. Chazal advocate that also to help promote kedusha v'tara, to help avoid a person from being nichshal, that marriage at a young age is recommended and is advisable. Obviously, this isn't the only factor that has to be taken into consideration when a person decides at what age he gets married. A person has to be emotionally, for instance, he has to be emotionally mature and ready for marriage. Chazal aren't advocating that a person should get married to Achlan Aslan a few months later, you know, the marriage doesn't work out, Achlan Aslan, because either he or she or both of them weren't ready emotionally for the commitment and lifestyle of marriage. But in addition to the other relevant factors, so this is a very legitimate, relevant factor. But again, it's by no means the only factor. Finally, the other, so we've mentioned, I think, four things so far in this area. We mentioned the Losikiv Ulegalis Erva, there shouldn't be any contact. And again, the truth is, not even histaklus, gratuitously. The Issa Yichud, which the Rambam describes as Hagorim Hagodol, as the major cause of being nichshal in this area again, because if the situation for chait doesn't exist, chait won't happen. If the situation doesn't exist, chait doesn't happen. Number three, the Shmir Sinayim, not to, again, gratuitously see, be in a place where one will see things which he shouldn't, which are ma'orat taiva. For one factor to be weighed in alongside other germane factors, in terms of getting married at a younger age. And the fifth one we'll mention is that the Rambam says, Yiseru mikol zos amru, the ultimate piece of advice that Chazal give us in this area, Yifana atzmo umachshavosav umachshavto ledivrei Torah, v'yarchiv daito b'chochma, a person should clear his thoughts and engage his mind with Divrei Torah, v'yarchiv daito b'chochma, And here the Rambam tells us again, it's remarkable for the guarantee which is present within it. She'ein machshavas arayos miskaberes el belev ponim min hachochma. If a person's mind is in a sugya, a person's mind is in a Rambam, a person's mind is in Divrei Torah, so then his mind is literally preoccupied. If one's mind is preoccupied with Kedusha, with Torah, so then other thoughts, which again can trigger processes of chait, just don't, there's no room for them. There's no room for them. A person's mind is preoccupied with Divrei Torah, with Divrei Chochmah, with Kedusha, so the mind is preoccupied, there is no room. There is no room for machshavos which serve as a catalyst for chait. Let's talk a little bit about another big taiva that we have, or that many of us have, is for money. The chemdas momon. Again, the Rambam quoting Chazal here, Amru Chachamim, that it's not only arayos, but Amru Chachamim gezel va'arayos nafsho shel adam misav elohen u'mechamdosan. It's a very natural and potent yetzahara to want money, and if you have money, to want more money. It's a natural yetzahara. How does one try to undercut or combat that yetzahara? So in general, in terms of trying to affect change in oneself, so there are two complementary tracks. One track is a behavioral track. When the Rambam talks in Hilchos Deyos about cultivating the deya, the midah havenanis, when he talks about cultivating the middle track, that a person shouldn't be too much of an ascetic. He shouldn't be an ascetic. On the other hand, he shouldn't be a hedonist. But he should eat what he needs to eat to function well at maximum capacity and to feel well and to sustain his health. And so for all character traits, so the Rambam says the way a person internalizes character traits, so we want to know, how does a person internalize not to have chemdas mamon, not to desire money, not to be looking to amass wealth? So the Rambam says, v'ketzad yagil odom atzma v'deos elu atchi yikov. How does a person train himself in character traits until they become second nature, until they become entrenched within him? So Rambam says, Yase v'yishne v'yishalesh b'maisim she'osa al pi ha'deos emtzoyos. Behaviorally, a person can change himself. If again and again and again I force myself to act in a certain way, it becomes natural. Initially, it won't be natural. Initially, so maybe I don't have any element of zrizus. But if I'll force myself to act with zrizus, so gradually that becomes second nature. So too over here, if a person recognizes in himself, and by default, we should assume that it does exist because of that Maimon Chazal that the Rambam quotes about the gezel nafsho shel adam mechamdoso. By default, we should assume we do have a chemdas mamon. We want money for its own sake. We want money for what we think money facilitates in terms of lifestyle and enjoyment and pleasure. So the way to counteract that in light of this Rambam is that a person needs to, again, to the best of his means, but not beyond his means, he needs to give tzedakah. He needs to constantly give away money. Needs to constantly give away money. Again, within the boundaries and guidelines of Hilchos Tzedakah, there is such a thing as giving too much tzedakah. Sometimes we make a mistake and think that if a person gives a certain amount of tzedakah, that he's certainly fulfilling his mitzvah. And the truth is, it's possible to give seven figures to tzedakah, not counting the seven columns. It's possible to give seven figures to tzedakah and not be giving an adequate amount of tzedakah. It all depends upon what one's income is, how much a person already has put away in savings. A person can be giving $5 million a year in tzedakah and not be giving enough. He could be giving $50 a year in tzedakah and be giving enough. So there isn't an absolute figure. There's no absolute figure at which point I'm certainly giving enough tzedakah. Everything is a function of and relative to a person's means. But the more I give tzedakah, so then the more that day of I don't desire money, I'm ready to give it away. The more I pass up on opportunities to acquire money that I don't need, the more I counteract that natural desire, that natural chemdas momon. The other complementary track to when a person is trying to affect change, so the first one is behavioral, is that a person should behave, again, in a way that is consistent with what he wants to be, with the midah that he's looking to cultivate. And the second one is that a person should spend time thinking and rethinking and reinforcing just hashkafically why the midah he's looking to cultivate is the midah tova, and why the midah he's looking to change is not the midah tova. When a person thinks to himself that al tira ki yashu ish ki yirve kvod beso ki lova mosa yikach hakov lo yered achav kvod, psukim in Tehillim, which are traditionally said in a beso ovo rachmanu litzlan, that don't be afraid that you're being outdistanced by someone who becomes wealthy, that ki lova mosa yikach hakov, no one takes it with him. No one takes it with him. All the props of wealth don't accompany a person to the Olam Emes. A person takes the Olam Emes. He takes the Torah he learned. He takes the Maisim Tovim he did. He takes the Zchuyos. And the rest, just... I think the Gemara in Ksubis tells a story that when Reish Lakish was dying, so he was leaving an estate of kava de morika, small quantity of something that was used as a dye, as a yellow dye, some vegetable herb, something that was used as, I don't know, I guess in modern terms maybe it was worth $5, $10. So kara nafshei. So Reish Lakish said about himself, "Va'ozvu la'acherim chelam," that they wasted, they squandered their efforts, because instead of they're just leaving it for others. The only point of money is that a person should be able to have enough to live with dignity, should have enough to live a life of Torah mitzvahs. Beyond that, it not only does it mean nothing, but it just distracts us and diverts us from what is meaningful. Behaviorally, a person tries to move away from chemdas mamon, and hashkafically, a person tries to constantly think and rethink and reinforce that perspective. The same is true in terms of COVID. COVID is also something as an outgrowth of the natural gaiva, which most people have. COVID is something which is often something we look for, something we want. a person has to move away from it behaviorally, to never do anything which other people can see if it can be done in private. Something which can be accomplished as well, as successfully, privately, a person should never have other people aware of it. A person is supposed to do whatever possible should be without anyone else knowing. Sometimes there are even subtle forms of concern for our own COVID, which in a very subtle way smacks of gaiva. Let's say a common scenario is, it could be a classroom situation, it could be a conversation between two people. So someone asks a kasha. Maybe the Rebbe is asking the kasha during shiur. Maybe you're talking with someone and learning. And then you suggest the teretz, which he misunderstands, and therefore, based on his misunderstanding, dismisses. And then either he, the Rebbe himself, or someone else in the class goes on to say what you said in different words, and this time the Rebbe hears it accurately. So it really doesn't accomplish anything to say, yeah, that's what I meant. The only thing it accomplishes is it sort of assuages my ego and my COVID. It's another thing. If a person withstands that temptation, so again, behaviorally, he's working to move away from COVID. He's working to move away from COVID. The hashkafa that a person looks to internalize, which undercuts and preempts COVID, is that hakesev ha-kovod l'chai olamim. COVID is owed to the Ribono Shel Olam. COVID is not something that's that a person should ever feel is owed to himself. Okay, what Talmid HaChacham have to do? So, Halavai, we should all have to worry about that someday. It should all be halacha l'maisa for us one day. Maybe to conclude, there is a very, very fundamental yesod sort of assumed in the Mesilas Yeshayahu by Ramchal. He doesn't so much say it as he does assume it. So maybe just to read you a couple of the lines where it's being assumed and just to try to bring it to the surface. Very famously, at the beginning of his Hakdama, so Ramchal writes that he doesn't intend Mesilas Yeshayahu to be a sefer that you learn once and then you put back on the bookshelf. But it's something that a person has to... The to'eles, ein ha-to'eles nilkot mizeh ha-sefer, ein ha-to'eles ha-nilkot mizeh ha-sefer, yotzei min ha-kriya bo'pam achas. What can be accomplished by learning the sefer will not be accomplished by learning it once. Ki kva efso shal yimtso ha-kori b'sichlo chidushim, to constantly be reviewing. Why? Because by constantly be reviewing, the person will be able to counteract. I'm sorry, I just have to find the line. Ramchal says, "Beteva." What does teva mean? I would say, nature. The natural state of affairs is that a person forgets. He forgets about Yiras Hashem. He forgets about Avas Hashem. He forgets about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the natural state of affairs. There's nothing anomalous. If a person is just sort of drifting in life, not making a concerted effort in any direction, b'teva, he forgets about all the yesodos that are present in Mesilas Yeshayahu, which is why learning it once is not gonna accomplish anything. It requires constant reinforcement. And a few times this reverberates in Ramchal. A little bit further in the Hagdama, Ramchal writes, Im lo nistakalnu velo iyanu mahi hayira amitis. If we don't think about and we don't concern ourselves with identifying what genuine yira is, Eich nimolet min hahevel ha'olami hamashakech osam libeinu. How are we ever gonna escape from all the mundane nonsense that causes us to forget? Here's the yesod, Rabbi Osai. Here's the yesod. And again, you'll read the Hakdama with this in mind. You'll see it time and time again. The Yetzer Hara is something instinctive. It works instinctively. It works reflexively. Let's say when I see chocolate rugelach, I don't start deliberating, should I salivate, should I not salivate? I just start salivating. It just happens naturally. It just happens instinctively. It happens reflexively. It doesn't require any premeditation. Doesn't require any deliberation on my part. And that's true in every area in which we experience taivus, in which we experience temptations. It's instinctive. It's reflexive. The Yetzer Hara operates reflexively, instinctively. The Yetzer HaTov operates reflectively, deliberately. Ultimately, the Yetzer HaTov is the stronger of the two forces because Seichel can be misgaber al haguf, al haYetzer Hara. But if a person is just sort of, again, drifting, he's not making a concerted effort, so we imagine, okay, if I'm just drifting, so I'll stay in the middle. Ramchal says it's not true. Because without a concerted effort, since the Yetzer Hara functions instinctively, right, he says it here mefurish, he says that in yonei hayira v'ha'ahava v'taharas halev, yiras Hashem, avas Hashem, purity of mind and heart, they're not devorim mutba'im ba'adam. They're not reflexive. Yiras Hashem is a result of reflective awareness. The Yetzer Hara of temptation is reflexive and instinctive. Ultimately, and this is a common denominator for all things we have to cope with, all things we have to contend with. So a person, we need to, as much as possible, try to train ourselves to live reflectively, not reflexively, to live deliberately, not impulsively. Because as long as a person is living reflexively, so then it's the Yetzer Hara which is the driving force. And when a person lives reflectively, so then it's the Yetzer HaTov, which is the driving force. Perhaps that's also reflected in the Gemara in Brachos that we're learning this summer in the first parak. The Gemara says, La'olam yargiz odom Yetzer HaTov al Yetzer Hara. It's an interesting lashon, right? The Gemara doesn't say that a person should align himself with the Yetzer HaTov rather than the Yetzer Hara. The Gemara says yargiz. A person should agitate the Yetzer HaTov. He should provoke the Yetzer HaTov against the Yetzer Hara. And perhaps it's this idea which Chazal are expressing there. If a person just sort of lives on automatic pilot, without living reflectively, the Yetzer Hara is going to exert more influence than the Yetzer HaTov, because the Yetzer Hara operates reflexively. And a person has to, again, make this concerted effort to train himself to live reflectively, to think about what he's saying, to think about what he's doing, to think about how his life is oriented, to think, and to constantly be reviewing and introspecting. And in that way, the Yetzer HaTov is activated, and ultimately it's the more powerful of the two yitzhak.